Jamil.
Yes.
First question, was tonight a perfect night of sports entertainment?
It absolutely was. Yes, it was. From beginning to end.
Right. You may have preferred other endings, but there were no mistakes. And last night, they did everything they needed to do, but it wasn't always great.
Mm-hmm.
Today, they did what they needed to do, and it was great. It was as good a night of watching sports entertainment as I have seen. Paul Levesque is very good at booking wrestling shows. He understands sometimes the fan needs to be happy.
Yep.
Ray?
Yeah.
Agreed?
Yeah, this was a great night of wrestling. Yeah.
Great night of wrestling.
Good show.
Okay, so we're going to dive into pro wrestling. We'll start with one of the epic main events, completely overbooked. The wonder that was the main event, night two, WrestleMania 40, after this.
Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. Here at Go Home Heat, our contributors focus on the stories and character arcs of the live action drama art form. An art form dating back to Zeus, featuring Lincoln and a bear and peaking with RoboCop and Sting. In the words of Xavier Woods, the last form of theater in the round. And now, Go Home Heat.
Cody goes over. Big, big party at the end. We'll get to that. They have a regular wrestling match early. It goes completely off the rails after you get Yeet versus Yeet.
Yes.
Roman looks like he's got it won a lot early. I thought it was a good wrestling match until it went crazy, and then I thought it was exactly what it should have been all along. And what part of the run-ins did you like the best?
None of us expected Taker. None of us. Absolutely none of us expected Taker. Mm-hmm. Like we all thought it was going to be Stone Cold. None of us expected Taker.
Right. But because it was Taker, the lights could go out and he could magically appear behind Rocky. We get one of the great wrestling rivalries of all time because we do get Cena and Rocky face to face.
Mm-hmm.
We get another great rivalry in the history of pro wrestling as Solo and Cena were face to face. But he did get to avenge that bullshit, right? That he got dealt a little while back.
Was it just me, or for at least 3 seconds when the Shield music hit, did anyone else think both Rollins and Moxley was showing up?
I wouldn't say I thought it. I was hoping.
See, yes. I was sitting there like, nah. They, right.
Right. And we'll get to kind of Rollins' day in a minute, but Rollins' weekend.
Yeah.
Ass whoop last night. Really good match, but ass whooping today.
Mm-hmm.
And then eats a Superman punch and catches a chair to the back for the. And looks like he hurt his knee in the middle of all that somehow. I think probably his leg got caught up in the rope on the Superman punch. Something like that. Because he couldn't walk afterwards. See, they were having to help him hobble around. Okay, so we get the fantastic moment with Taker. And then Roman is there. And he has a chair in his hand. And we know that turning points in Roman's career, whether it be Sami Zayn, all of that starts with a chair to his back in the Shield. Mm-hmm. He has a choice between a Cody who's beaten up and laying on one rope and a Rollins who's beaten up and laying on the other. And he can win the title if he hits Cody. But he hates Seth Rollins' guts.
Yes.
And he knows that all of this started. The first thing that made him decide pro wrestling was not about friends, was his guy, Seth Rollins, doing it to him. And he spanked Seth with a fucking chair. And... And he winds up. That's the moment that cost him the match. As
it is,
Cody gets to recover, stops the spear, boom. Three or four crossroads? The pin. Did you like that they put that in there as the moment?
I did, because it continues the storyline of Roman can never get over what Seth Rollins did to him. He can never get over that. Like
100%.
We got that in the Royal Rumble match, which nobody ever wants to bring up the fact that Seth Rollins technically is the only person that has never been beaten by Roman Reigns during this long 1,316 day reign. 100%. And that's something else that bothers bothers Roman. And so because of that, it costs you the match that you should have put him away, but you didn't.
Right. It also goes back to the moment in the ring on Raw when Seth explains to Cody, I am uniquely suited for combat with Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
He won't just think about you if I'm around. It's not going to happen. That was beautiful. I thought post-match, Brandy in the ring, chef's kiss. Cena in the ring, chef's kiss. It had that old school feeling of how whoever beats Ric Flair for the title gets the whole locker room in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, isn't Roman our Ric Flair, our Harley Race, our, right?
He is. He's our super heel. He's the heel that everybody wants to love and hate at the same time.
Right. Right. Did you, anything else you want to add on that?
Smash was perfect. I don't even know if it was a wrestling match, but the shoe was perfect.
Right.
I stated last night that they needed to give us Endgame.
Oh yeah.
In order for us to walk out satisfied.
This was like the season finale of pro wrestling. Like I can't even
100%. You had Michael Cole, you had Pat McAfee, they were saying to the mic, I love pro wrestling. These are the stories you can tell, and you can do it in front. It's not a joke in our intro when I say theater in the round. It literally is theater in the round for 70,000 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. And you have a real life full circle moment as Hunter told Cody, evidently, I don't want to come out. In contrast to the rest of the weekend where Hunter was constantly front and center with people saying, hey, this is the future. That other stuff isn't here anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Over and over. Yeah.
I struggled to believe, especially how this entire WrestleMania has gone, that Hunter was like, no, that's too much praise.
Right. But we do get the full circle moment as the man who drove Cody out of the company. Not on purpose, but when Cody marches into his office, he tells Kofi Kingston, I'm never putting this trash bag on again. I'm going in there and I'm telling him what I can do with this company. And I'm threatening to leave. And he walks into Hunter's office and he gives him the spill. And he gets Hunter mad enough that Hunter comes out of the chair and Cody wonders if they're about to fight. And Hunter says, I think you're doing exactly what you can do for this company. And that's all. Get out. And so the next thing, cut to Cody in the locker room putting on the trash bag and makeup and Kofi laughing at him, right? But that was the moment that pushes him away from your company and full circle. The same guy that pushed him away is the same guy that brought him back in.
Yeah.
And the same guy that said, this is what you can do for us. Seth Rollins, Roman, these guys are our future. The same guy had to acknowledge Cody when he brought him back. And he had to be the guy that said, yes, as Seth Rollins put it, when they shook hands after the match, it's your time now, Cody. This Cody is your company now.
Cody Rhodes is literally the first WWE champion of the Paul Levesque Renaissance, Triple H, whatever you want to call it, era.
100%.
And it's fitting. It's very fitting.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, let's go to the beginning as Seth gets the second ass-whooping of the weekend.
Yeah,
Drew McIntyre and him, I thought they did a good job. They didn't overplay the knee injury. They didn't overplay the back injuries. Drew winds up winning after multiple kickouts. And you got Drew winning and finishing his version of a story. But I thought they did a great job as Seth looks at him and says, you deserve this, and walks away. But Drew wouldn't let it go. He kisses his wife. And he walks right over to Punk to rub it in Punk's face. He wouldn't let it go. He couldn't just be happy for himself. Punk turns out isn't as hurt as we all thought. He takes the arm brace off. He runs it through Drew's head. Damian Priest cashes in. I think you called that.
I did.
You called it. I think I called it.
Mm-hmm.
Admit that I did.
Yeah.
Okay. So we called it, and it was perfect because now we get him. Not only did he win it at Mania, which is what he needed to do, mm-hmm. in front of a live audience, he's going to win it in front of another live audience in his hometown, in Scotland.
And it's going to be beautiful. I knew Damian was cashing it in. I didn't think this was how it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the appropriate way for it to happen, because now Punk can look at him and say to Drew McIntyre, I prayed for this.
100%. 100%. And how do I put it? Punk is now going to be able to be in a huge program with Drew. I still keep Punk away from Drew till after Castle Slam.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I act like he still can't wrestle yet. He doesn't mm-hmm. wrestle anybody. Then Castle Slam, Punk comes out the first Raw after that, and we're off and running, right? You think so?
That's money. That's it right there.
Right?
And it also gives Punk an opportunity to make sure that he fully is mm-hmm. healed.
Oh, exactly. And we got after that, we get our second ECW tribute as the Hall of Fame ceremony with Paul Heyman was the ECW tribute. Then we have a Dudley's table out, or basically a street fight match mm-hmm. where Bubba Ray is in there. We get the spot where the what's up, where they're holding the guy's legs apart. Perfect. Yeah. We get through the tables. We get the athleticism. I thought this was really well done. I don't think anybody looked that bad. I just, at some point, for AOP and oh boy, they got to win something sooner or later. Scarlett took a bump through a table.
Did, absolutely did. Her and B-Fab, shout out.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was great, right?
Yeah, absolutely great. Great, great match. Great way to transition to the next match that we really wanted to see.
LA Knight. AJ
LA. Yeah.
Yeah. LA Knight, you thought that match was really good. LA Knight, AJ Styles? Oh, right?
I haven't been asked that name. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by that match.
Right, we were worried about it going in because you didn't know, is AJ going to prove? We get a little TNA tribute. We didn't know that was coming. We get it.
Yeah.
AJ Styles makes the guy look like $1 million, eats the pin, perfect.
Yes, absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely. And just as I've stated before, LA Knight needed this match in order to reignite the momentum that is LA Knight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he should be, if they don't move, I would move him to Raw. I would move him to Raw because I don't want him having to face Cody and his shtick. I don't want his shtick up against a good guy.
Yeah.
I would flip. I would find a heel. Maybe if Damian drops the belt, I'd flip him over to. I would find a heel to move to SmackDown to face Cody, and I would move LA Knight to Raw in order to face their heel champion.
Absolutely.
You know, and probably lose the first time around so that he can win the next time around type thing, right? Now we're moving on to what was the next match was, Kevin Owens, Logan Paul, Randy Orton, and I thought that was perfectly booked as well.
Yeah, it was. It was. As much as I hate Logan Paul, Logan Paul needed to win that match.
He's pretty talented.
He is. Yeah.
It's gross how talented he is.
Yeah. He's very talented in the ring. Plus, you know, we have this whole Prime sponsorship nonsense. Mm-hmm. So, as much as I don't like him, he really needed to win the match. So.
100%. What did we have that was next?
No, literally right after that match was the
Theo Bailey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we honestly kind of sped through. We kind of sped through night two.
Yeah.
I thought this match was great too. I would say match of the night, only because I don't know if I consider Roman Cody a match. I think
with cinema.
Something like that. I think Io and Bayley really worked as hard as they could to make this match turn out great. Io is a beast.
Jesus.
And Bayley might be the best American women's wrestler of the past like 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Bell to bell,
probably. So yeah, I mean, undoubtedly this turned out good. So
for as much credit as we give the other members of the Four Horsewomen, for as much credit as we give Mercedes Moné / Sasha Banks for being the best in-ring worker in the women's division, for as much credit as we give Charlotte for essentially being the heir to the wrestling throne, and Becky Lynch for essentially reframing her character every mm-hmm. era of this women's revolution. Bayley does not get enough credit for being pound for pound the best women's wrestler in WWE.
Well, and I will object to that a little bit, because there was a time in NXT when Io was the champ.
Yeah.
And I thought she was the best wrestler in the world. And I told people that on this show all the time. Look, the best wrestler in the world is not a guy.
It's
Io Sky at the time, mm-hmm. calling her. And I was like, just watch the matches, dude. Now, she was wrestling Rodriguez or Gonzalez, Ripley, Bianca. Like, there was a murderer's row. They'd bring Sasha down, let her wrestle. So she was getting good opponents, but she was killing it every week. But it was on NXT, so she didn't get the credit. Right. And then now she's the world champion week in and week out. She's getting okay matches, but there's a commercial break and it's 8 minutes or 10 minutes and her whole crew's running and all that. Tonight was the first night that she got to remind everybody, this is who I am.
Yeah.
I'm a walking, living, breathing muscle of perfect balance. I can land on my head. It doesn't hurt my neck. I can bounce from the ground. The three moonsaults, standing moonsault, second row moonsault, top rope moonsalt. Come on, dude. After 15 minutes, she's laying there. Bailey's stomach is going up and down. Hers ain't, bro. She ain't even breathing. It's crazy. And I think Bailey's a great, great storyteller. Maybe there's a legitimate argument that Io can't tell stories like Bailey King.
Absolutely not. Like Bailey told a phenomenal story in that ring, and Io was able to carry her through that match. But you can't have the match. You can't have the great match that we have if you don't have somebody that's as perfect at storytelling mm-hmm. as Io is at in-ring performance. Phenomenal match. Like it was hands down way better than the women's world championship match, and I enjoyed that match. That was one of my favorite matches from night one, but this topped it, completely topped it. Yeah,
every match we saw today topped it.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. Like match of the night last night was Gunther, and then you had this whole show, and then you had Rhea Becky. If you're going ranking matches,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? What was your, you said match tonight was probably.
Yeah, I'd say Io Bayley, Cody Roman, like a tie there.
Yeah.
There's also a match at WrestleMania, by the way.
Yeah, what do you take? Best match of the weekend?
Best match of the weekend for me, hands down, is Io and Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
Io and Bayley, and with Io and Bayley 1A. Cody and Roman 1B,
yeah.
Like literally.
Gunther, Sammy, or B?
Yeah.
That's no, no. Three.
Mm-hmm. So in that case, then Gunther and Sammy is 1C.
Like, okay. I will say, I agree with you guys. I'll say shout out to Obafemi. If you get a chance, that's the match from the NXT show. He is crazy.
Obafemi is a star.
Right.
That guy's a star. Yeah.
We should have him throwing small vehicles at people in the parking lot, because we know the most dangerous place in the world is the NXT parking lot, right? Yes,
definitely.
Biggest shock of the weekend for you?
The Undertaker coming out during the in-game sequence of Cody and Roman.
Okay, Ray?
It'd be that. It would also be LA Knight and AJ Styles being good. What else is there?
Okay, my biggest shock of the night is that Poppy didn't sing.
Oh, I forgot about.
Because Hunter had Poppy at every NXT pay-per-view for a year. I thought he liked her more than Stephanie, but I was wrong. Yes.
My other shock of the night, which is actually a pleasant surprise for me, was absolutely how hard they geeked out Seth Rollins this entire show.
Isn't that the Seth Rollins route, though?
I know. I have, it is. I haven't been being asked about Seth Rollins because I will just clown on him for the whole podcast.
I honestly think Seth Rollins, that's the curse of the cash-in, right? The curse of the cash-in is that his greatest moments of his career have been either somebody else's thing or pins he's taken, right? Because he's been the obstacle. Edge got his big moment back by beating him. Cody got his big moments back by beating him. And I think, you know, that's fine too, by the way. A lot of great, but Seth's biggest moments, his best run, were as Hunter's anointed guy, where he didn't get to be his own mouthpiece. He was a whining, sniveling champ, came put the belt on him. You know what I mean? But by the same token, you know, he's been this guy who has always been there and done well. And I think it was a perfect weekend. He had to be the guy to do the losses so that Cody could get the wins.
Right.
And it works.
Yeah. Does every time.
You have to have that guy. You have to have that guy in your company that can eat those losses and it doesn't freaking matter. You know what I mean?
And now you have AJ Styles and Cody. Now you can go take a well-respected rest, a well-deserved rest.
Dude, for real, though. Take some time off. Come back at SummerSlam. You know?
Yeah. Or don't resign your contract and go to New Japan.
But, yes.
Dude. But anyway, so we all agree. Fantastic. Anything else you want to say? We wrap it.
Where do we go from here now that Cody has finished the story?
What did Cody tell you last night? When one story ends, a better story begins. That's a lot of pressure, because it is hard for a baby face. He's been chasing for a long time, and it is amazing he's kept that steam, but he has been the most popular man in the company for basically 2 years now. How on earth does he keep that going as champion? Because we hate the way WWE forces babyface champions to wrestle. So this is going to be very interesting. How do we get heels? We got to line up some heels for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got to, hey, I'll say something else. Sidebar, Jacob Fatu signed a contract and Tonga signed a contract.
Mm-hmm.
The bloodline may be changing.
Tonga did put the phone up on his IG page.
Call me, bro. Call me. And Jacob Fatu, that dude is incredible. I can't wait for him to get on a really big stage.
Yeah.
And do his thing. Or NXT.
It's going to be, though. The,
right.
Just like Ray said, tonight really looked like the season finale of pro wrestling.
Right.
And tomorrow is the new season of pro wrestling, because we all know what happens at the Raw after Mania, and this is the first Raw after Mania of the Triple H era.
Right. And he is a guy that he cares about his legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he is going to want you, all these things that everybody has always thought are important, he has on his calendar with big check marks. This has to be big. This has to be big. This has to be big. Raw's one of those things. Tomorrow's going to be huge. Got to hit home runs tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's wrap it on that. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jamil. Tell everybody where they can find you again.
Of course. You can find me at Jamal Steel, JAMALSTEELE on the Twitters, on the IGs, and, you know, got this new podcast. It's called BLKFLA, the podcast, and you can find that at Instagram at BLKFLA, the podcast.
Perfect.
Get all your info there.
Awesome. Like, subscribe to everything that has Jamil involved in it. Follow. Enjoy him. And you can find us at Go Home Heat 1. You can find me on all kind of other stuff. Sooner or later, I got to get a link tree so you can just click onto me and get to me.
That part.
You do too, by the way, Jamil. You do too.
I do. I do. I got a lot. I got a lot going on.
All right, Ray, nobody needs to find you yet. You're holding out.
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate y'all. Check out The Daily Smart. Check us out, Spotify, Apple Pods, anywhere you find your neat, nifty podcast. And folks, go.